We are. Third hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Yes, I said yes. Gorgeous day downtown Nashville. We're here live at the Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators and the Los Angeles Kings tonight in the building. 7 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Now our buddy Tim Hasselbeck on the line with us to begin the third hour. Tim, great game last night, Titans and Bills on the big stage, and it lived up to every moment going all the way down to the wire, and the Titans coming away with the 34-31 victory. What did you make of, I guess, the decision by McDermott to go for it and do a quarterback sneak that got blown up by Jeffrey Simmons?
You know, I actually thought it was the right call by Sean McDermott. Look, they hadn't been able to stop the Titans, you know, and I think it's known by everybody, right? Like, you get going late in games, potentially in an overtime, you know, Derrick Henry ends up being harder and harder to defend. And so, you know, on the road, in that situation with a big quarterback, like, I actually think he's making the right decision in that point to try to win the game and then get out of town.
How do you feel about the quarterback sneak? Kelly Holcomb joins us every Thursday on the show. We do a contest called Silly Underdog Picks, and he's a part of it. And he's been a part of it for years. And Kelly has always told us his disdain, his displeasure with the call of quarterback sneaks. He hates that play. He thinks, because he thinks it's one, it's reckless if you've got a franchise quarterback, because he believes that it's a play that's set up for a recipe for disaster to get your quarterback hurt. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree. I mean, I'm sure he's got his reasons for it, but, like, go look at Tom Brady, who's a franchise quarterback, and his success on fourth and one or third and one when they've gone quarterback sneak. I think the problem with how it was run by Buffalo is that, you know, typically speaking, for a quarterback, like, you're looking for a bubble, like some type of soft spot to you know, kind of attack with your quarterback sneak, right? So, you know, the mechanics of it are take a snap. You actually, whether it's like a rocker step or a bit of a hesitation, like, you allow the lineman, in a sense, to fire off before you follow somebody. And I think the trick sometimes is, like, you're looking for a soft spot in that defense, but, you know, you have to be careful because the offensive line, like, they're pinching, right? They're not going to get beat inside. So if the guard is going to pinch, you know, then the tackle's got to pinch with him. So if you're like Josh Allen and you try to, you know, find a bubble that's a little bit further out, you know, ultimately what ends up happening is you end up hitting somebody that's unblocked. Whereas if you just kind of, you know, follow the back of, you know, one of your guards, and you have to get a yard or a half yard, you know, I think you're more likely to get it. So, I think it's a good play. Do I think it's a good play all the time? No. Do I think you have to be, you know, careful with how you use it? Yes. Should a quarterback sneak sometimes be paired with tempo? Yeah, it should. You know, I believe so. Look, I think it's a good play. I don't think there's any doubt it's a good play. In fact, I've maybe shared this with you guys, but, you know, I had a stretch at ESPN where I spent a lot of time with John Fox, who obviously, you know, taking two teams to a Super Bowl as a head coach, was a tremendous defensive coordinator at the Giants before he was a head coach for the Carolina Panthers. And the thing he said, he goes, my favorite thing defending fourth and one was when a team would go in the shotgun. He's like, that was my favorite thing. Because, you know, you need to get a half a yard or a yard, and they then decide to move the ball 5 yards further back from where they're trying to get it. And, you know, I think sometimes we can make things too complicated, and quarterback sneak, oftentimes it's simple, but it works.
I see. Allen was 13 for 14, according to ESPN SportsCenter, in third or fourth and one or less.
In his career?
In his career. Hmm.
And by the way, ESPN win probability.
Yeah, he's huge. you know, that's part of it. Then the other, I think he did a poor job of running. Go watch it again. Like, he's almost out in like the C gap, you know, when he tries to, you know, where he ends up, because he's kind of looking for, you know, a soft spot, and then Simmons is essentially on block.
Well, why is he going to the left side where Simmons is anyway? That was my big question that I brought up earlier. It was like, why would you be going to the left? When you go to the right away from 98, I wouldn't go towards Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, or you go, you know, behind a guard that you like. And to that point, like, I'm sure that that's been discussed. Like, you guys know I coached fifth and sixth grade football, and we ran a quarterback sneak one time, I think it was this year. Like, my left guard weighed about 84 pounds. My right guard weighed about 130 pounds. And my quarterback went to the left. And I was like, yo, like, wait, let's think about this again, all right?
Have you been to science class lately? Let's look at some physics here.
Look, the same thing applies, okay? The same thing applies in the pros as it does in fifth and sixth grade football and stuff like that.
With all that being said, I did see the ESPN win probability on that call, and it was basically 50-50 on going for it or kicking the field goal, which I thought was interesting that the win probability was basically right down the middle, whether going for it and your chances of winning the game or kicking a field goal and your chances of winning the game was pretty much 50-50.
Well, I think because you still had to score the touchdown, right? Like, getting the first down was one thing. But like, you still were going to have to score the touchdown. I'm guessing that's why it was like that, right? I mean, getting the first down wasn't guaranteeing you the touchdown. Look, it's been interesting seeing the way people have been aggressive on these fourth downs. I do think it makes sense, and I know we know the result of it now, right? And Simmons makes a great play, and they stop him, and all that. But like, would you have wanted to go into overtime if you were Buffalo?
I admit it, because I always say on the show that I try to always give my honest opinion of what I'm thinking in the moment, not hindsight, because hindsight, we're all geniuses. And at the moment, I was very surprised that they were going for it. I would have kicked the field goal, taken my chances, but I do understand why, because the Titans, believe it or not, as good as Buffalo's defense has been, which was number one in a lot of categories, points allowed and what have you, that they were not able to stop the Titans' offense. So I get it. You're on the road. But at the time, if I'm just being honest, I was like, you know, he came up a little bit short on that scramble, and I just would kick the field goal and take my chances in overtime.
I'm the opposite. I like going for it because the way I'm looking at it, Tim, I feel like you're putting everything on the coin toss, or a lot on the coin toss, because it looked to me like it was going to be very tough for either defense to stop the offense. Whoever gets the ball first, you're hard-pressed to say, oh, our defense will stop them. That's why, let me ask you this, Tim. I thought it was interesting. This was probably a debatable thing where...
But can I finish real quick, though, on that thought, though? Tim, the reason is exactly what you just stated. It wasn't, hey, get the first down, it results in a touchdown. It's get a first down, and oh, by the way, there's 20 seconds left, and you still have to score.
But you could then kick the field goal if you need to. You could still kick a field goal if you get the first down.
You could. I think when you go for it there, you're planning on
you're going
scoring.
You're playing to win.
I think that's just why the probability changed. I just think that Derrick Henry's harder to defend later in games than he is earlier in games. Like, we can talk about why that is. I think there's some obvious reasons why. But, like, it is indisputable that he gets going later in games. We agree on that?
No 100%.
Question. Plenty of numbers 100%. To back that up.
Okay. All right. So you haven't stopped him. Okay? He's running you over. What did he rush for last night? Like, what was the number last night?
143.
Yeah, Henry, 143.
143 in three touchdowns?
Yep,
three touchdowns and only 20 carries.
Okay, so like, back to the point, like, all right, if they win the coin toss and they decide to just sledgehammer us to death with, like, I don't want, like, to me, if I'm Sean McDermott, I'm like, I can't lose the game like that. like kicking a field goal, losing the coin toss, and then watching Derrick Henry, you know, just fall forward, you know, on a 10-play drive. Like, we can't do that. So I think that's and look, we're on the road. So I think that's why he made the decision. I really do. I think it literally becomes that simple in terms of making that decision. And by the way, like, your quarterback sneaking it with a 250-pound quarterback. So I actually liked the call. It did. Look, sometimes you can still like the call and it not work out. Like, I'll still go back to that, you know, Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl, and look, everyone's like, hey, run the ball. It's like, well, where are you running it? Because the way they lined up on defense, like, you can't block everybody. So now sometimes somebody just makes a great play, and in this case, Isaiah Simmons makes a great play.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, another thing that was brought up on the broadcast was whether the Titans should have taken the timeouts to preserve time to have another possession after whatever happened on the Bills' possession. Mike Vrabel decided to say, I'm in the lead. I'm going to put the pressure on them to manage the clock and hope that it won't give anything more up than a field goal. So tell me what I like that he did that. I've seen teams go the other way. What factors come into play for you when you're making that decision?
You know what's interesting is I think that Vrabel is out on an island in terms of that decision when I watch NFL games. And, like, there was one the other day. I forget what game it was in. But, like, there was one the other day where it was kind of like, maybe it was that Green Bay-Cincinnati game where, like, a timeout was called quickly, and it was like, well, wait a second. It's fourth and one, and they're deciding whether or not they're going to kick a 50-something-yard field goal. Like, I think you just helped them by, like, trying to preserve time. I think you just helped them by, like, giving them a chance to take time to make the decision of, hey, are we going for it here, or are we kicking the field goal? Maybe it was Cincinnati taking a timeout as Mason Crosby had been struggling. So, like, Willie, I think you bring up a really interesting point because the prevailing feeling, I think, has been in the NFL is preserve the time. To use your timeouts, preserve the time. And while, like, there's clear reasoning for that of why that makes sense, the pressure of the clock and the other team trying to preserve timeouts and be mindful of, you know, what plays they can and can't call in that situation maybe is more significant than allowing yourself some time to come back. So I feel like the most obvious scenario to me where I really struggle with, I don't think I would use a timeout there, is when it's a fourth and one and you're like, okay, do I want to go for it here, or am I going to kick a 54-yard field goal to win it? Like, that's the time. You know, down in tight like that, you know, with Vrabel not knowing that Buffalo would go for it in that scenario, then the right thing probably to do is to preserve time, maybe get a return, and attempt to go, you know, a long field goal of your own in regulation.
He also showed a lot of confidence in his defense, even though on paper the defense is by far the weak suit as opposed to his offense that had been rolling and scored, what, five straight possessions. So that it was really interesting thinking, but I think it's the sort of the defensive mindset. I saw Jeff Fisher do that a lot of times too and succeed. But it's a calculated risk, and it's something you got to decide right there in the moment. That's why the game management is so important by a coach.
Yeah. And truthfully, like, on the scenario that you're talking about and I'm talking about, like, especially with a long field goal attempt where somebody's like, are we going for it here because there's 45 seconds left in the game? Like, what are we doing? Like, you don't know what the other guy is going to do. And I think that for some guys, like, remember Belichick, like, without hesitation, attempted this long field goal late in the game? And it was a little – I was – somewhat surprised at how quick and decisive he was with, like, yeah, we're not even going to try to get the first down here. like, I see, to me, I think those are decisions that the offensive team's coaches, you know, oftentimes like are laboring over and calling a timeout, I think lets them go, hey, do we like a 4th-and-2 call here or do we need to kick it? And so I think sometimes preserving time ends up helping the offense.
Mike Garofalo of NFL Network has reported that, according to his source, Dawson Knox broke a bone in his hand, and his timeline for his absence, they're thinking it might not be that bad since Buffalo is going into a bye week. Remember last night in that game when the Bills decided to go for the two-point conversion, Josh Allen tried to call off the play, and Dawson Knox was like, nope, I'm still throwing to you.
Yeah,
but now they found out he had a broken bone in his hand.
That was a nice play, too.
That was a great play, and honestly, looking at it, I'm sure he's an amazing athlete. Looking at it, it looked like he had a broken bone in his hand the way he threw it.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And now that the dust has settled from last night a little bit, both Buffalo and the Titans are 4-2. You have the Chargers and the Raiders at 4-2, the Bengals at 4-2, and then the Ravens at 5-1 in the AFC. If you're looking at the Titans compared to everyone else, where are they at this point sitting at 4-2 in your mind?
I mean, well, let's just like take a step back. Considering where they are after week one, like, I think they have to be thrilled about where they are and what the rest of the conference looks like. And yeah. And I think that, you know, a win like that against an opponent like that that's as respected as they are, and then also the stage of it. You know, this wasn't a 1 o'clock, you know, game in Buffalo. You know, the only NFL game on the magnitude of it, you know, that was a physical football game, which I think that really plays into the hands better for Tennessee than it does for Buffalo. I think they've got to be really, really encouraged by it. I will also say this. Like, I don't know if you guys were struck by this, but – like, looking at Vrabel in, like, the first and second quarter.
You're breaking.
Right? Is Tim, like, in the West Wing again? West Wing of the castle?
Am I in the West Wing? No, what I was saying was, like in the first quarter, like, Vrabel looked so frustrated that, like,
yes.
I thought that if he could have punched
beside
somebody,
himself.
He would have. Beside himself. Like, and so for it to start the way it did and for the team to have the type of resolve that they did, like, I think with the way the conferences look, the way they've played against Baltimore in the past, and that being the team that everyone kind of is looking at like, oh, they're going to be hard to defend, yeah, I think they should feel really good about where they sit right now.
Yeah, I think the thing that worries me that, you know, and losses happen. You're not going to win every game. I mean, that's just how competitive the NFL is. But the two losses that the Titans have, one is a bad loss to a really, really good team. One is a bad loss to a not-so-good team. And you got to wonder what that means. And you look at some of the underlying stats, I think that's where people are really unsure about this team. And also the injuries. I mean, the secondary, I mean, have they called you? Are you going to have to play defensive back? Oof. I mean, that's kind of where they're at this point.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot there, obviously. And look, that wasn't a great spot coming into the year. And so, look, you've got to be concerned with that. But then, like, look, Baltimore, you know, Baltimore is playing Le'Veon Bell at running back and a bunch of other guys. Like, it's – so everyone's going to deal with it. That's why this thing is such a marathon. You need to just be able to survive it and have the people that really, really matter – still healthy when you face somebody in the postseason. And look, I think right now, look, not to say that corner isn't an issue, and maybe there's something you can do to you know, address it. I'm not sure what you can do, but maybe, you know, maybe you can. And look, at that point, like,
if you get into the postseason and still have Derrick Henry, you're still running the football, and you can have both, you know, wide receivers, you know, good to go in the postseason, like, people are going to be worried about playing Tennessee.
I'll ask it about these two teams specifically, but you have the Titans that were in a shootout with the Bills, and they find a way to win the game. And then you have the Cowboys that really, you know, they probably shouldn't have won the game, but they ended up winning the game because that's what good teams do. What does that do for a team when you're right there at the end and you find a way to break through and get the W? What does that do for the confidence?
I think it's huge, and one of the reasons I think it's huge is that, typically speaking, because you play so many games, you find yourself in situations like that, you know, going forward. And when you lose games in tight moments, like, there's just a doubt. Like, there's no different in Pop Warner, high school, college football. Like, when you consistently lose close games, there is a feeling for some players like, oh, here we go again, when you're in a tight one. And, you know, conversely, when you figure it out or you find ways to win, it's the way people feel in Green Bay when it's like, oh, wait, we have 34 seconds left? That's okay. Like, no timeout, like, not worried about it. Like, Aaron's going to march us down and we'll make a kick, like, because you've been there before. And so I think that Dallas has had an experience like that. I think the Titans have had experience like that. Green Bay certainly has this year. Baltimore did a couple weeks ago. And so, I think those end up being kind of situations where when you look back on the season and you're like, oh, we're hosting a playoff game this weekend. And you know what? Like, part of it was that. And we're good if we find ourselves in a situation like that again.
Last thing quickly, how do you pick yourself up after a huge win on a short week and turn around and try to beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that's the leadership of the team. Like, that's Mike Vrabel as a player. Like, identify, all right, are we in pads at all this week? Are we, like, what do we do with our schedule to kind of have the right, like, work-rest balance? And that's where that are now coaching, you know, sometimes have a better feel than others.
Good stuff, Tim. Really appreciate it. Thanks as always. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week.
Cool. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, NFL analyst, head coach. He does it all.
Middle school football. Yeah.
Does it all. We will come back and hear, speaking of head coach, Mike Vrabel is going to talk about their win last night at Nissan Stadium over the Bills, 34-31. He's going to have his reaction to that. We will carry that live. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right. Mortgage rates are on the move. Don't miss the chance to lock in the best rate of your lifetime with Loan Pronto. Remember, call today. Take advantage of their super popular zero-cost refi program. So many people are doing this. You can get a rate with an APR in the low twos, with no junk fees, no closing costs. Yes, they pay the closing costs, even if you refinanced 6 months ago. So if you did that, just remember that if your current APR is over 2.75, you need to call now for a free 30-second quote. Loan Pronto's all-digital process is fast and easy. Virtually no paperwork required, and most loans get closed in 14 days. If you act now, you could even skip your next two house payments. How's that for your budget? You got to love that. Here's how you get in touch with the folks at Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Ask about the zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero-cost option.